all the good things you have prepared for your children, Lord, you will accomplish it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. The Lord is good. Now, today I want to talk about something which I don't know exactly how to start it. That is either to say it on his own or make it a part of a series that I was hoping to start today. But this one looks like it's good enough to be part of it. What I'm calling today's message is how to enter enduring success. Now, what I wanted to talk about is a message I called the servant of God. That I want us to start this, that I'm going to go on next into discussing what I call the servant of God. Now, this one, I don't know whether it's part of it, but let's just start teaching. We may include as number one or not. But I'm going to take my text of scriptures today from Psalm 118. But before we read Psalm 118, I think first of all, I want us to read something from Matthew chapter 7. With that, I want to make a statement, and then we'll now go into the main thing that I want to say. Matthew chapter 7, two verses I'm going to read, 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." What I want to bring out is this. Whatever it is that you are looking for in life, what you will find while looking for it is determined by how you got that thing that you were looking for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me explain it again. It said, enter by the narrow gate. The reason is because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. What he was saying is that if you go by the broad way and enter by the wide gate, you will find destruction. But he said, in trying to accomplish the same thing, please notice this. If you go by the narrow way and enter by the small gate, then you will find life. What am I trying to explain? That what you find is determined by how you entered. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, in life, there are many things we desire. In fact, what I was teaching them yesterday, where I went to teach, I said, there is nothing wrong with desiring things in life. An example I used, I said that if you decide that the kind of house you want to live in must have 7 floors, and ground floor is your parking space. First floor is your kitchen. Second floor, your sitting room. Third floor, your wife's closet. You know, like Puff Daddy, you know, PDD. What's his current name? PDD, all right. That has a whole house that's a closet. Let me tell you the truth. It is not worldliness. No, believe me, you know, it will sound funny, like, what do you mean? Are you saying you sanction it? It is not my business to sanction or dissanction his life. You know what I'm going to say? It doesn't concern me at all to say what he's doing is right or what he's doing is not right. But what I can assure you is that if you desire that kind of house in your life, it is not worldliness. Now, I don't desire that kind of house. I actually think it is silly. But that is as far as I am concerned. Are you following the point I'm going to make here? That is, if you think that, look, when you want to drive around, you remember the way our guy Patrick Amuzia used to drive around those days? When we were in Lagos, there is Zoe 1, 2. In fact, there was Zoe without 1 or 2. Then after that, there's Zoe 1. Then Zoe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is not a joke. I saw it one day passing. Boom. And they are not cheap cars. I mean, Zoe was an S600. You understand my point? White. S600. That was the Zoe itself. Then there was now the accompany Zoes, the 1s, the 2s, the 3s. And they were, Honda Civics, regular V-Bulls, Jeeps, you know. Now, why should a man travel like that? It doesn't concern you. See, he has not come to ask you for money. He's not using your car. Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here that it is not what a man is, I mean, that physical thing that a man desires that's worldliness. It is not. Do you understand my point? But how you come to that level, you are getting what I'm trying to say. Because you have to be careful. If Bill Gates decided to drive through Nigeria and he has 100 cars, written Microsoft 1 to 100, we will not think there's anything wrong with it. You know why? Because we think he deserves it. He's the richest man in the world, you know? So Microsoft 1, Microsoft 2, Microsoft 3, 4, 5, there is no big deal as far as you and most of us are concerned. The reason being that we feel that the man can properly afford what he's driving. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Now, I'm not saying you should now go home now and decide that your house must have 14 floors. I'm not teaching you how to. I'm just trying to bring out a point that those are not the things that determine what worldliness is. But what you will really experience in life is not determined by those things. It is how you got them that will decide whether you have acquired life or you have walked into destruction. So Jesus said, in whatever it is you are doing, how you get the result is the main thing. It is not exactly what it is that you are desiring. Are you getting my point? Now, let's get back to our message. I just want you to understand that. Now, this is actually intertwined with everything that we are going to say today. I said, we are taking our text from where? Psalm 118. Thank you very much. So if you have your Bibles, quickly open to Psalm 118. Remember, what I'm talking about is how to enter into enduring success or how to achieve enduring success. There's something you heard me say a few weeks ago, that the difference between God and Satan is not just in the results that they want you to get. It is how they are going to take you to that place. Are you getting my point? Now, there's another difference, actually, and that is the fact that what Satan gives you comes quickly, and anything you get quickly ends quickly. Do you understand my point? But God brings his things very slowly. I will say come to all these things, because if I take off now, we will not read this text, all right? So let us read the text, then we can say everything we want to say. Is that okay? All right, Psalm 118. I use the New American Standard Bible. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. What he's trying to say is that the side that God is on the side of those that help me. He said, therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Verse 10. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, he said. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. That is, he did not let me reach the ground. He said, as a result of this, verse 14, I am saying, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. What he's saying is that the reason why there is a sound of joyful shouting and salvation in the tents of the righteous is because the right hand of the Lord does valiant things for them. In verse 16, it says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. As a consequence, verse 17, I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Verse 19. Please notice this once very carefully. That's our main message. It said, open to me the gates of righteousness. Remember from Matthew 7 we read, there are different kinds of gates. Now he said, amongst those gates that there are multitudes of them, the one I want is the gates of righteousness. I hope you are following that point. He said, I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Please, I want you to notice something here. What he was saying is that there are many gates in life by which you can enter into things. I hope you are getting my point. That is, there are many things in life you want to accomplish, and there are many ways by which you can accomplish them. He said, but there is a particular method that is God's method, and that is the one he calls the gates of righteousness. He said, this is the one that the righteous enter through. That when a righteous man wants to enter into success, he looks for the gates of the Lord. And the gates of the Lord is described as a gate of righteousness. I hope you are getting my point. That is what makes it the gate. That is, anytime you see the gates of the Lord, What characterizes it is the righteous works that are found therein. What describes it is the righteousness that is found on it. That is called the gates of the Lord. He now said, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. That's verse 21. And you have become my salvation. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, these things are tied together. What he was saying is that one day God will do something great, that the man that was rejected because he did not follow the gates that everybody uses, that one will be found out to be the chief man that has made the correct decisions. Are you getting my point? And he said, in that day, you will see that it is a day that the Lord has made. You will see the marvelous thing that God has done in this man's life. Please follow what I'm trying to say. Verse 25. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the man who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What I wanted to note from here is the same light of what we read from Matthew chapter 7. Let me go over it and explain it again, and then continue from there what I really wanted to say. That in life, I said, it is not what you desire that's a problem. It is how you want to enter into it. You will read from Psalm 118 here, that, you know, when you read it off the cuff, you think he's talking about the gates of the temple. I examined it and read as many translations as I could lay my hands on while I was studying this. And I realized that David did not say anything about the temple of God. What he just said is that, open to me the gates of righteousness, I will enter through them. And we read from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was speaking there. He said, whatever you want to do in life, you have a choice to make. Which gate you want to enter through? Are you getting what I'm saying? And what we are discussing today is how to enter into enduring success. I told you something at the beginning, just a while ago, that there are a number of differences between the things that God gives you and the thing that Satan gives you. That is, what I'm saying in effect is that, let's generally categorize the gates into two groups. There are the gates of God, which is the gate of righteousness, and every other one is of Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? And each gate has an attraction. Get what I'm saying? The one that Satan uses to bait people is that you will get your result quickly. If you go and read the temptations of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 4, Satan told him, bow to me now, and I will give you these kingdoms of men. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And let me say this again, because you have to keep on saying this thing again and again so that people can really imbibe it into their hearts, into their souls, so that their spirits can catch it. There is nothing that Satan has ever offered anybody that God did not plan to give him first. Let me say that again. I did not say that there is nothing that Satan has given somebody that God could not have given him. I didn't say that. I said Satan does not have the ability, this is my personal persuasion, to give you what God did not want you to have. Do you understand my point? That is the only difference between Satan and God is how you got it. You see, we're in Nigeria, politics is a big issue, and not only in Nigeria, it's everywhere in the world. You know, this afternoon I was reading that book I told you last week I was still reading this afternoon. My Life and Ministry, Expect a Miracle by Oral Roberts. And he said that when they were going to build the City of Faith, which is their medical complex, it's quite a gigantic structure, sitting on what he said, it sits on 2.2 million square feet of space. That's the City of Faith. It has their hospital, the complex where the doctors and their prayer partners live, and the research center, all of them on the same base. Three towers shooting, and one of them has, I think, 60 floors. Now, that's it. It's now I understand when Bishop Oyedepo will be speaking and said that he went to the City of Faith and he looked and said, it can happen anywhere. That is, he had to tell himself, this can happen anywhere. Now, interesting enough, it's good to read. You know, I keep on saying, I did not know this much about Oral Roberts until I bought that book. You understand? And I read the other one the other time. That is Still Doing the Impossible. Now, he said that when they were going to apply, now what happened was that he felt like adding what he called graduate schools to Orarobos University. And he was going to add a faculty of law, medicine, and another one. Now, for medicine, they need a hospital, naturally. So he tried to get affiliations with hospitals in Tulsa, and none of them agreed. None of them. Number one, they didn't even agree with his principles, and he was a controversial man. Many people didn't want to have anything to do with him. But the most important reason was that God did not want it affiliated, because he said what God wanted him to do was to have a place where faith and medicine is mixed thoroughly together. That every doctor there is born again and spirit-filled. They lay hands on their patients. They join hands to pray before they start surgery. As surgery is going on, people are praying for the patient. That's the center of that thing. So he said, God now let him know that what he was going to have to do is to build his own hospital, is build his own complex. And God showed him the picture, that is an image of what it was going to be like. Now, this is what I want to bring out from that story. He said that, of course, they now had to apply for a license. You needed a license to do all those things. In fact, the first thing they had to get was what they call a certificate of need. That is, you have to prove that the society needs the thing you want to do. All right? Now, he now said that after that, they needed to get a lot of approvers. This is what I'm coming to. He said when they were meeting members of the House of Representatives or maybe senators, he discovered that the state senate, a lot of the people there were waiting to be paid to give their approval. Now, this is not Nigeria. This is United States of America. That sometimes Nigerians feel as if God built a house there that he lives in personally. The senators too were waiting for their before they give approval. Now, he said the man who was representing him told the man, listen, we're not giving anybody a dime. If you guys don't give us this, it will be because God doesn't want us to have it. But we will not give anybody a kobo. Now, that's what I'm trying to bring out here. This is the difference between God and Satan. Satan says, come, I will give you quickly. Now, they have to use, of course, that's one thing about when God wants to do something, and we're talking about it in this series. There is bringing in the power of God through prayer. Are you getting my point? Now, prayer doesn't mean that you must knock your head on the wall or stand with your feet up. No. Prayer means that you must consciously recognize that only God can do this, and that you are the prophet of God on the earth, and God needs your words as a license to come into that situation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, maybe we want to go, even when I pray about some of this, it may appear trivial. That means the way I say my prayers. There was a day I was praying for my wife, and she said that the way I pray itself, that somebody will not know that you're really saying this thing very seriously. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I may just maybe want to do like a seminar here now. The seminar won't just come and go, all right? First thing to do, we have a desire. So we'll not just say a simple word. God, this is what we desire to do. Give success and give progress to this seminar. Let men hear of it. Let them come. Let them be blessed. Let the anointing be released. It might be that simple. It might be more difficult. It may be this kind that will have you wake up at night and pray in the spirit. I don't know. But the thing is that one thing that characterizes the gates of God is that he must be initiated through prayer. In fact, if you see in Psalm 118, I noticed something that David said there. He said that, verse 21. No, let me just read from 20. It said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. He now said, I will give thanks to you for you have answered me. What does that tell us? That is, he made a request of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Are you getting my point? So Orarobos said, he told the people, listen, we are not giving you people any dime, but we are going to get our approval because this was born of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, that's the thing about Satan. Satan will tell you, do it this way, we'll give you quickly. Now, that's something I want to emphasize again. Satan tells you to collect it quickly. It gives you something that is unrighteous to do, but you will get your results fast. Are you following my point? You know, I started this train of thoughts by bringing out this issue again, that there is nothing on this earth that Satan can offer you that God was not planning to give you. There is nothing that Satan can do for you that God would not have done much more if you had waited for God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, sometimes people think that the gates of God, because they are narrow, that means what is behind it must be narrow. Because you see a gate, it's so tight to squeeze through it. So you assume that the compound that the fence is guarding is a very small compound. But God said that is not like that. It is actually a very broad compound. It is a compound of greatness and prosperity. But I want to ensure that only those that really deserve it get it. And the way I do it is by making the road tight. Let me explain something. When it says narrow is the road, it doesn't just mean that it can only take a few people. That's not what it meant. Let me just explain that. When it says narrow, it means it is tight. It means you have to squeeze through it. You have to use, let me use a medical word, you have to use diapedesis. You know, you stick one hand in first, you put a head. It's like if you come and see my son trying to pass through the door, Olubenga, that's our front door. You see, because he's too weak to swing the door wide. And the door is this springy door. And once you push it back, it pushes you back, all right? So he first put a hand, then squeeze a head, then put a leg. Then he gets stuck and he shouts. And if you don't release him, he will keep squeezing until finally the whole body is through, and then it remains only his foot. And he drags that one out. And you see, in that process, he might get scratched. That is what Jesus meant when he said, narrow is the way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When he says the gate is narrow, that's what he was saying. When he says the other one is broad, that is, you walk through it very comfortably. You walk through it without any difficulty. That's the point he was making. It's not as if it can take many people. That's not the point. But because that one is so simple, everybody finds it easier to go through it. You know, I'm talking about the servant of God. I think this will be our first in the series. How to enter into enduring success. Because, you see, the second thing I was saying, the difference between God and Satan is that when Satan gives you something quickly, it also dies off quickly. Are you getting my point? I mean, you have seen a lot. I don't have to mention names. In Nigeria, you see a man was poor yesterday. Then he enters into the occult. Or he enters, well, all of them are the same thing. Whether it's 419 or occult, all of them come to the same thing. They are all of their fathers, the devil. Are you following my point? The next day, the man appears in town. He has bought 15,000 square meters in Nigeria, 20,000 square meters in Independence layout. He builds one giant complex here, builds another one there. And when he's driving past, all these cars are big and robust. And he numbers them one after the other. I told you, to want a house that sits on 50,000 square meters is not iniquity. Do you understand my point? It is how you get it. That is what characterizes what you get there. It's the gate by which you entered into that thing. So you see the man, after acquiring all these things, suddenly, literally suddenly, he dies. Are you following my point? The reason is because what he got quickly. That is the principle. Jesus, when he was speaking about the kingdom of God, that's like the seed that a man plants. He said, the one that springs up quickly is the one that dies quickly because there is no depth anchoring it in the realm of the spirit. I'm using my own words now to bring something out here. There is nothing anchoring it. For that reason, it dies off quickly. I told you that I was telling you, I was on the side saying that. I was having a discussion with Pastor Annie the other day. We were talking about many things in life. I got something led to the discussion. Then we said, and I think we've discussed some of these things here before, that anything that will be, oh yeah, I remember this is how we said it. Anything that God wants to do, he always starts it small. The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants into the ground. Now, the aim of that planting is to have a tree that is so great that all the birds of the air can come and nest under its shade. But when God sees that and he wants to start it, how does he start it? He starts it with a seed. You know, I was meditating this way today after reading that book by Oral Roberts. And something came to my mind. I said, me too, I think I should teach that. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Let's see what comes up. My own version of the miracle of seed faith. You get what I'm saying? Now, this has been taught by most people. I've heard it preached a lot. And my heart has never really agreed with it totally. And that is when you need something, all right, you give towards it first. That one, hear it again, I reject that doctrine. I reject it, all right? I totally reject that doctrine. Giving is not a kalokalo machine. You know, God is not a kalokalo machine. You don't have to give something to God before he gives back to you. No. Let me say it again. I reject that doctrine. I have not found any reason in the scriptures to believe it. Are you getting my point? Some of the examples we use to substantiate it are taken out of what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations. That is, as one widow gave to the prophet and got abundantly, so did the other widow pour into a jar and didn't give to anybody and she got abundantly. There were two widows. Are you following my point? There is no standard principle that every widow that wants from God gives to a prophet first. One widow came and the prophet said, in fact, people said that it's because she gave. I said no. And that's one thing I want to explain about the principle of that seed faith. That giving to the prophet was a sign because somebody said that activated something. Listen, it only connected with something that was activated, listen to me, by her prayer. I know what I'm trying to say. I don't have time to explain that. But that woman prayed to God because you will see that the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord runs through and through the whole earth looking for who he might show himself strong on their behalf, and that person must be one whose heart is perfect towards him. And Jesus said there were many lepers in Israel, but none was cleansed but who? Naaman. And there were many widows, to none of them was the prophet sent. Are you connecting something here? But that one that was in Zarephath, I'm bringing out the point here that there was something in her heart that God responded to when he sent Elijah. Do you understand my point? She did not begin something that time when she gave to the prophet. What happened was that the prophet said, make for me first. Listen to the connection. He didn't say, make for me and it shall come to pass that it will never fail. Did he say that? He said, make for me first because thus says the Lord. That is, I have come to your house armed with one word. What I have brought to you, like Naaman was collecting healing, you are collecting deliverance from poverty. Now, whether you believe me or not is decided by whether you give me to eat or you don't. It is not as if you are getting reward. Do you understand my point? If the woman says that, may I chop this one first? A bird in hand is worth 10 in the bush. What she's saying is that word of God cannot alight on her. I've told you that spiritual things are like that. It has to be connected. Are you getting my point? If it's a curse, you have to do something to imbibe, to download it upon your head. And if it's a blessing, there is something you do. Are you following my point? There is something you do that brings that blessing into your life. So when I tell you about my own version of the miracle of seed faith, that thing that you do is the seed. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. It can be anything. It can be anything. It can be resign this job. You haven't given anything to anybody. But that is a seed. Which means that you have agreed that it is God that will do this thing. That's what I call my own version of the miracle of seed faith. What am I saying here? When you are squeezing through that door, when life is hard and tight because you are trying to do what is right, it is a seed. And you're only doing it because thus says the Lord, that jar will never be empty. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. Now, let's get back to the main thing we are saying. So the real principle is for one to believe the word of God. So if you have an expectation from the hand of God, so David was saying here, he said, the Lord has answered me, which means that I have prayed to him. Therefore, I take all the hard beatings in life, knowing that door, though it is narrow, though it is tight, it only leads to a large place. Listen, nothing guides you in life more than faith. I hope you are getting the principle I'm trying to say here. That, listen, let me conclude that one, is that Satan will tell you, I will give you quickly. Now. But when he does give you something quickly, listen to this. He has given you a glimpse of what God will have given you, but that's all you get of it. A small taste, and then you lose everything. He came to Jesus Christ, he said, bow to me, and I will give you all these kingdoms. That is the gate of unrighteousness, is the gate of Satan. Bowing to Satan to collect things. Are you following the point? That is the gate of unrighteousness. Jesus said it is forbidden that we should do that. Why? Because God has said, you shall worship the Lord thy God only, and only him will you serve. At the end of the day, the Bible said that because he was obedient to the point of death, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is far above every other name, including the name of Satan that was planning to give him everything. He now said, what is the end of the whole thing? At the end of this creation, what do we find? That the kingdoms of the world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And then, listen to this, he will now reign for how long? Forever. That is the difference. That is a young man who goes through the gates of unrighteousness. Listen, while you are suffering, he will make money now. and he will drive to your hometown and show everybody, including your parents, how stupid you are. Do you understand my point? But listen to me. If he entered into wealth by the gates of unrighteousness, what is it that will happen? Quickly, David said that when I entered into the temple, I discovered their end. You are following my point? Quickly, you also depart. But what God does is to build up something gradually. Now, let me get back to the one that I was saying earlier. I just remembered it now, before I lose track of it. So I said I was discussing with somebody, and we said that there is a principle by which the gates of God operates. It's almost standard. God doesn't, I'm not aware he has ever broken that order. That is something great he wants to do on earth, he must start it small. Are you seeing another reason why that gate is narrow? It must be small. In fact, one of the reasons why we're discussing, Pastor Anya, we're saying that, he said, how come a lot of business that spring up in Enugu also collapse? I said, it's standard, it's like that everywhere. I said, do you know the main reason? I asked him a simple question. I said, if this is your studio that's open, just downstairs here, if it doesn't make money for the first 2 years, you did not earn profit from it, are you going to close it down? He said, impossible. I said, you see? It is not possible. That is, there is a passion, there is a vision with which you are pursuing this thing. So if it doesn't make money for 2 years, you won't fold it up. Why? It was not founded on the drive for profit. It was founded on a particular dream in your heart. So even though it tarries, you will wait for it. You are getting the point. But what is the broad way? Economists will come. Accenture will come to you. PricewaterhouseCoopers will come to you. They will do the accounting and see that you have invested 5 point something million naira here. And at the end of 2 years, they calculate your profit. It's hardly enough to, by the time they remove your rent, remove the money you have paid people, then cost your own personal involvement, give you a salary. They realize that you are virtually running at a loss. So what do they say? It would have been better for you to take that 5 point something million, put it in a bank account. At least by now, it will have yielded profit. It's called the broad way that leads only to destruction. That is, at the end, yes, you'll have yielded profit, but where are you? There's still no studio. There is still no studio. You are still not going to make any impact in that area in this life. You are not going to make that impact. But it is easier because you don't have to struggle. You don't have to try. Money is just there. They are just paying you your interest. But he said that one only leads to destruction. But the one that leads to life, somebody will abuse you and let you know that your mates invested this way and I told you to do it like that, but you are pursuing what you call vision. But what they don't realize is that any great thing that God wants to do must first start at a seed. And the irritating part is that the seed must die first. See, even if it starts growing immediately, we'll be happy. That shit was one seed. Now it has come to three. Praise God. You know what first happens? The seed dies. All the investment just enters into that thing. No money is coming out again. And instead of it to start producing, it now starts taking time to grow. Every little money, that is anything you drag, either from the sun or from the earth, is only used to make the thing grow. So for the first many months, if you are talking about, let's use a tree. For the first many years, what do you see? Nothing. As for fruit. But the thing might be growing. You might see it grow. Or if it's like the Chinese bamboo, it doesn't even come out at all. But doesn't mean that in the realm of the spirit, something is not happening. I'm bringing out a point here that the seed first dies. That is the annoying part. So everybody will now be sure that this thing has really finished. I always knew that guy was very foolish. Look, they will be kind of this faith thing. As if he's the only one that God is on his side. The rest of us only have a God too. Are you getting my point? So he enters into troubles. And then one day, finally, you begin to hear, go back to Psalm 118. The sound of joyful shouting comes into his house. But before we get there, notice what happens. He said, they pushed me violently so that I was falling. He appeared like I was failing. He said, but God didn't allow me to reach the ground. If you go to verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, he said. They surrounded me like bees. He said, but God extinguished them for me. Are you following the point here? He said, at the end, verse 15, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation was now heard in my tent. He said, because the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. In all these troubles, verse 18, it says, the Lord was disciplining me severely. He said, but he has not given me unto death. But listen to this. When I am in trouble, he said, what will I do if I want to enter into prosperity? I will maintain one order, entering through the gates of righteousness. I'm explaining something here, that if you now enter finally, let me use the word finally for now, into that abundance, into that prosperity, it came by God's order. It came slowly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? By the time it finally produces, the tree is so big that even if you set the forest on fire, you can't burn it. Are you getting my point? Take Iroko tree. You burn the whole forest. That tree is not going to die because one fire burnt. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? The tree will not die just because one fire burnt. But you will understand. You know, grass, one fire burnt, all flesh, you will realize, is really like grass. They say the reason why business don't do well in Nigeria is because NEPA is not working. Listen, while NEPA wasn't working, some people were making more money than they were making when NEPA was working. The people who fold up because NEPA is not working are the small people. Are you getting my point? That the strength that God has built in a man will make him stand the days of adversity as if nothing is going on. Are you following the point I'm making? That is, he will survive the times of trouble because he has entered into his prosperity through the gates of righteousness. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. Let me say something here. It is a very, very satanic argument for people to make you change location, make you change your opinions in life, or make you change your direction because it is easier the other way. Listen to me. It's called the broad way that leads only to destruction. Listen to me. It will not appear like it is entering into destruction initially. Because if it appeared like that, why will anybody enter? Are you following my point? The way you know it is Satan that is beating you away is for people to tell you that the only, look, that you don't need to go through this hassle. I told you before, one of the reasons, and it's still my opinion, why I have never been bought by the gospel of you must go abroad, you know, go and settle abroad, because things work better there. It's because I have understood that there is the narrow gate that leads to life. Do you understand my point? And the fact that something is easier somewhere is never the reason why I should step into it. I was talking with somebody recently. I was telling him that at this particular period, I want to take a small visa. I want to go for an attachment somewhere in the United States. He said, I hope you are going to come back. I said, yes, of course. He said, when you reach, I said, listen. I said, ministry for me is in Nigeria. He said, there's also ministry in America. I said, you don't get a point. Let me promise you something now. Even if I get there, he said, come and preach in our church. I will tell you, I have no gospel for you. Because I don't buy things on credit, you know, credit card and all that. So I don't know how it feels if you are owing. Are you following my point? But I know I buy things here where cash must be complete before they release it to you. So if I want to preach, I am touched with the feeling of the infirmities of the people I'm preaching to. I'm bringing out a point. So the point is that when you find how easy life is, you know, I've always said this thing. Now, I hope I don't sound too spiritual. I've heard people say they died and they went to heaven. And heaven was so beautiful, they said they won't come back. When the Lord now comes back to them and says, go back to the earth. I said, no, I don't want to come back. This way is very fine. I said, well, maybe if I have that experience, I'm not trying to sound too spiritual. I said, but listen to me. I am one person that will never agree. He said, why? I said, listen, dear Lord, is this not the heaven you talked about? Yes, I know now. We are going to come here finally. So what is the hurry? I said, by the way, I have a wife who's crying right now because I died. I have children who's wondering what happened to daddy. I have gospels I have not finished preaching. The gold on the street, believe me, is not an enticement for my soul. God knows I am not trying to sound spiritual. I really mean it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The reason being that life is not about enjoying. Life is about, look, God said the kingdom of God is not in food and meat, in drinking. That's what is called righteousness. It's in doing the works of God. I told you that righteousness is not, I'm a righteous man in my heart. There is nothing like that. The Bible says, he that doeth righteously is righteous. Righteousness is in doing the work of God. That's what the kingdom of God is about. He said, the man just go to heaven and say, this is so fine. I'm not going back to the earth. He said, What about your wife? What about your children? What about the work that you have not yet done?
What is this region? This heaven, look, for here, for your information, this place is called eternity. Are you following the point I'm making here? What am I explaining today? That there is what is called the gates of righteousness. And what determines what you eventually experience in life is not that thing you really desire. It is how you got into it. Satan is very crafty. You know what? When I say crafty, Satan is really crafty. He will steal from a man and use it to buy his own soul. That is, he will come to you. Not even steal, borrow. So, boy, lend me 10 million naira. He will collect from the man and go around and say, come, I want to buy your soul. See 10 million naira. That's what Satan does. What do I mean? The test in life for you to know whether God has really given you something is refuse to compromise to get it. If it doesn't come, it was never yours. Do you know why? Even if you compromise, listen to what I'm going to say, you would not have gotten it. Let me say that again. That's why I want to explain. If also, if Ora Robert and his men had paid those people, and God has said, you are not getting it or you are not getting it now, no matter the amount of money you pay, you won't get it. And look, if you don't put that in your mind, you will make a lot of wrong decisions. You know, one of the ways by which 419 people, thieves, how they get people is this. They will tell you, don't tell anybody, it's only you, we are trying to help. You know, sometimes I enter the market. So this is how much? He said 5,000 naira. He said, okay, let me pay 3,000. No, you are pricing. The guy said, last I can give you is 4,007. And that's because it is you. I always ask them, say, who am I? You say, it's because it's me. What is my name? Am I your brother? Do we attend the same church? Do you know me from somewhere? That's how you know you are lying. He said, it is me. So a stranger comes and says, I just want to help you. For that reason, don't tell anybody else. Once they start telling you like that, you just know 419 has begun. The next thing, principle of 419, is they will tell you, listen, now, another 24 hours, the thing has gone. So you have to act fast. That's actually what I was going to explain. When they tell you, act fast, you know what you should do? If you are not sure it is of God, delay. Deliberately add an extra day. When they say, by the first, you must have done it, don't even put off your phone on 31st. On 3rd, call them. How far? 90% of the time, the team is still waiting. God, we didn't hear from you again. We just said, let's give you one more week. He said, if I don't bring in 31st, Jesus Christ will come back. He has not come back yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is one of the ways, that's the point I want to actually bring out exactly. One of the ways you know it is God that is giving you something is that you delay it a bit, it doesn't go away from you. Are you getting my point? What I want to bring out is, if indeed it went away, then it was not your own. Are you following my point? They say, opportunity comes by but once. I say, it's not true. That is not the gospel of a man who is blessed. If opportunity comes to the house of a blessed man, he knocks. He said, please, sir, is Mr. ABC around? He said, no. He said, please, when he comes, tell him his opportunity sent from God came. And if he's not at home, I will come back.